Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Uncensored Match Build-up ahead of Liverpool versus Newcastle on Thursday night at 8 p.m. I am delighted. I am joined by Jay Pearson and Declan Carr for this one. And Jay, I might as well get straight into it. If Liverpool have aspirations of being the champions of England come the end of the season, they need to beat Newcastle on Thursday. It's as simple as that, isn't it?
100%, mate. And I love it when we play Newcastle because we have a relatively good record against them. And it's always a fixture that is one for the ages in terms of the history of the fixture as well. So everyone gets a bit up for it as well. And like you said, mate, we've got to make sure that with this Christmas period, we're taking 3 points at every opportunity, because I'm not bothered about anybody else. Just get 3 points, Reds.
Yeah, and Tech, it's one of those, isn't it, mate, where like, they're in such bad form, we're going to go in depth on Newcastle later, but a home game against a team who's just been absolutely hammered off the pitch by Leicester. In between, you know, we had a difficult game against Villa, we've got Spurs coming up. It's one that you can take your eye off, because we're going to speak team news in a bit, or you know, rest and rotation, which I'm guessing is going to happen. But regardless of it, whichever 11 they have to go and win this game. It's just anything else is pretty much unacceptable, really.
Yeah, I think with how close like the title race is this year, you've got to win it, haven't you? I hope Salah starts. I've triple captained him on fantasy, so I'm just praying Salah starts, really.
Other than, I'm sure, we'll get that in a minute, but I'm very, 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 very sure that he probably will. Probably will.
We're not going to rest him,
we'll find out in a bit. I suppose we're talking the theme of this season over on the Redmen TV. On the Redmen TV, Jay, is the revenge tour of Liverpool. Yes. And slowly but surely, ticking games off that we dropped points in last season, improving on performances, and that's how we're going to, you know, hopefully mount a title challenge. Well, this year, and Newcastle's the next one on that list, because if anyone remembers that horrendous game in lockdown where we drew 1-1, where we literally gave them an equaliser in the last second, VAR saved us by like the skin of our teeth, and then we just let the same fella score anyway. Joe Willock goes and score. So if Liverpool are ticking off the revenge tour and we're trying to, like, which games are we going to do better in? There's a chance already to right one wrong of last year.
Definitely. I'm not even worried about stuff like that anymore, because that was a completely different team last season. And that sounds really stupid because it's the same bloody people. But, you know, mindset was different. There's no crowd. It was such a tough time to be a Liverpool fan. It must have been even more tough for the lads who were playing on the pitch, knowing that they'd won the league and thinking we're good enough to go and do back-to-backs. But yeah, I think there's a lot of different factors now, mate, and I've under the lights again. I love under the light league games. They're really, really good. And I just think everyone's right up for this now, because it's, again, I said before, it's 3 points. It's a must.
It is a must, isn't it, Dech? Like, we've mentioned that before. And there's... If Jürgen is going to rotate, by the way, again, we'll go into what we think he might do later, but we're guessing he's not going to pick the same team he's picked at Villa, because he's got an eye on Tottenham and he's got lots of games in the bank. He is going to rotate, I suppose. If you ever need a game where you want to bring two or three fresh faces in and give a rest a few legs, like playing against this, joint worst team in the league, they've got 10 points at home, the fact that they've just been beaten, like... It is their perfect opportunity to do that, really, isn't it? Because, again, we can't just keep picking the same 11 week after week after week. And bear in mind that 11, by the way, or 10 of them, won 1-0 in the last minute with an Origi goal and 1-0 against Aston Villa. So they've ran their bollocks off over the last few weeks. Like, yeah, he is going to make changes. This is a relatively nice fixture to have to be able to do that.
Yeah, and as you say, I think they do rotate. I'm not sure who we rotate, but I think you've got it with the run of games you've got coming up.
But in terms of the opposition, it's a good opposition to get if that's the case. And like this midweek game, if this was a really, you know, it's an away game at Chelsea in between the fixtures that we've had, or it's, you know, you go in the Etihad or wherever you're going. I mean, against the second worst team at home, you accept that, don't you, in this situation?
Absolutely, it's a nice game to have. Like, I'm sure they've got a tough run coming up as well. They've got City and United as well, so I'm pretty sure their fans won't be won't be expecting a nice Christmas gift this year.
Yeah, and then Everton after that, where do you get right by being by beating Everton?
But that's it, mate. We talk about free hits a lot, don't we? And we're getting less of them now because obviously we've got the Carling Cup quarter final, which we, again, he'll have an eye on and think maybe I'm going to play a little bit more of a stronger side because, you know, when we get to the end of these stages of these competitions, you want to be winning, don't you? So I do think this is not a free hit because that's just disrespectful to Newcastle. It's not, because every team in the Premier League can give you a game, and Newcastle proved that last season. But again, it will just sort of be that, like you said before, Steve, they've ran the bollocks off. We can allude to a couple of changes. I expect, you know, like an Arte to come in and stuff like that. So we will have that freedom to make a few more wholesale changes where we won't go, what's he doing?
Yeah, you say that, but like, I always remember that game. I always reference the 5-2 against Everton, which was a midweek game in December. And it's like, Origi, there's Shaqiri, there's Lallana. Like, he could go 5, 6, 7 changes. And again, we'll touch upon those shortly. But in terms of the opposition again, then under Eddie Howe, usually you get like a new manager bounce, Jay. I'll stick with you on this one. They haven't really had it. So they draw with Brentford in his first game, but he wasn't even there because he had COVID. They obviously get beat by Arsenal. They draw with Norwich with 10 men for like most of the game. They got the early red card. They get a big win against Burnley, which they pretty much had to do. But then they just got absolutely spanked by a Leicester City side, which Leicester haven't been that good. They're a middling team.
Last two years, absolutely.
So Eddie Howe, we haven't really seen that new manager bounce from him, and the games are coming thick and fast. Like, it's hard to know what could he have done between Sunday and Thursday from getting hammered by Leicester to go and play at Anfield.
Nothing. It's the worst fixture you could possibly ask for after that. You think, you might have just been beat by Leicester. Who are we going to go for next? Oh, shite, we're going to go to Anfield. I don't feel sorry for him because I'm a Liverpool fan at the end of the day, but it has been tough for him. One win in the last 6 games for Newcastle as a club. I think for Eddie Howe, it is a case of what he does in January, because everybody's waiting for what Newcastle do in January, aren't they? Everyone's waiting for that. So that's going to be his respite.
They've got to get there first,
but at the end of the day, I still think he'll still be in the job. You know, the way Eddie Howe spends money on certain players like Brad Smith and Solanke and Jordan Ibe, you know, to name a few. It's going to be very interesting to see how they spend money, but you can't get any tougher than this run of fixtures for them.
I don't feel sorry for them because they're coming to Anfield and hopefully they had a pace and where it hasn't been kind for them again to go Liverpool, City, United, and then Everton, who knows where that is, but it is tough for them. By the way, we've got a new first team member signed up to us on the YouTube. Well, you'll never walk alone, Simon TV92. Welcome, mate. Welcome to the team. You are now one of us. Enjoy using your custom emojis and all the other benefits you get there as well, mate. Dech, before I'm going to go to a quick break in a minute, I've got a trivia question to pose you guys. But before we get there, then, this run of games that Liverpool have got coming out, Jay mentioned before, it's just relentless. It's thick and fast. There is two ways to go at it. There's you play your best 11 in every game and take them all off after half an hour, or you do after mix and match. We always think Jürgen's going to go to that second one. Is there any worry for you of anyone just taking their eye off Newcastle? Like, you know, Tottenham's a big game on Sunday. Conte's got them playing well. They haven't played for a while. They've had their own COVID issues as well. But, like, before that, they were in relatively good form under Conte. It was a mini revival. Like, is there any worry for you that there might be too many eyes on that Spurs game?
I think the lads are professional enough to know they need to get the job. Like you said before, it's not a free hit. And Klopp, even though it maybe is getting hyped up as that in the media and stuff, I think Klopp will be saying to the lads, like, come on, lads, we know any team, like you said, in the Premier League can give you a hard time. And I think, they got absolutely mashed up by Leicester, but they could come to this game with a totally different attitude.
It's a free hit for them, isn't it?
Exactly, yeah. They know they can come to Anfield, Man City come to them on Saturday, and they know they're probably not going to win. So just give it like they're all. And if they don't win, it's like, oh, well, we weren't going to win that game anyway. But if they do somehow get something from the game, it's like, oh, well done, lads, we can kick on now. And they need to get points or to at least be within a couple of points of like your likes of Norwich and your Burnleys and your Watfords. And I think it's like, who else is it? Who's
down the bottom there. So
who's down the bottom?
Southampton, Leeds, Everton.
You know, they need to be like within a couple of points of them. So they can't afford to take these hits if the other teams are gaining points.
Yeah. And you've got a tough run. I say it's all good having all the money in the world, but you've got to get to January where you can, you know, it's all well and good saying to all these players you can come in. Yeah. But you've got to be, no one's going to sign it. They think they're going to be relegated in 6 months.
Yeah.
And if you do sign players who are happy to be relegated in 6 months, A, they're not that good, or B, they are chasing that Saudi Arabian dollar. So yeah, we'll see how that one all pans out.
I think the best bet probably to like either sign players from around them, so like sign like Burnley, Norwich, and Watford's best players, or sign the best players from the Championship and hope that they can make the step up. It's whether they're going to move, though. If you're a club who were like chasing promotion to the Premier League, are you really going to sell your best player? Even if it is for like, say, like 10, 15 million, the money that Newcastle can offer. But still, you're going to be in trouble and not getting promoted then.
Yep.
So it's like a catch-22 for them clubs, and it's a catch-22 for Newcastle. Who can we really get? But I think it's like similar to us with AFCON. Like I said, I think I said last time I was on, if we're still in distance of like Chelsea and City after AFCON, after Salah and Mane go away, we've got every chance of winning the league. It's like if Newcastle are still in distance of the other teams around them
come January,
after these horrendous run of games, then they'll have every chance, and with the window and all the money they've got to spend. So it's definitely not a free hit for Liverpool, but it is one you should win.
Yeah, I suppose that's the thing, is we have to make it. We have to make sure that they're not in that touching distance by absolutely wiping the floor. Right, guys, going to take a quick break. Before we do that, first of all, if you all want to go and give this video a big like now, thumbs up, give this video a like. I've been set a challenge by bosses to get the likes on these videos. It's something I need to. I get no Saudi Arabian dollar for it.
No, but you get a nice pat on the back.
I get a hearty handshake off Chris Page, and that is more than enough for me. It's worth more. That's priceless. It's worth more than any dough. So yeah, get that one in there as well. Over the break, I want you to ponder this trivia question. I'll give it to you guys as well. Can you name the four players who Liverpool have signed directly from Newcastle in the Premier League era? So can you name the four players who have transferred directly from Newcastle to Liverpool in the Premier League era? So since 1992, basically. Have a little think about that one. You guys have a little think about that one. Get your answers in the comments and the chat below, the live chat. We're going to go to a quick break now. We're going to give you the latest Ultimate Fan update where, spoiler alert, he had a shocker. I think he had an absolute shocker. So have a little watch of this, and we'll be back after the break with those answers.
Hey everyone, Mate here. Just a little insert from me to say that if you enjoy this podcast and the other podcast that we put out for free and you want more, then my word, you can have more on the redmentv.com. Go over there, sign up and get extra bonus shows from us each and every week, as well as a whole suite of video content, documentaries, features and interviews. But yes, you can also play those podcasts in your native podcasting app as well to have a seamless Redmen TV experience in your ears. The redmentv.com, sign up there today.
Yeah, so there we go. Do get involved with Ultimate Fan. Really, really, really good game. Like you say, Paul packed Newcastle this week. So
nightmare.
He's had a nightmare day. He's in a weird position of hoping he loses, I suppose, there. But yeah, do get involved. Use the code to join the Redmen League as well. Play against all the guys here and see how you get on. Hopefully you're beating Paul this week, because hopefully Newcastle don't score him absolutely too many points at all. All the best, mate. Speaking of the Newcastle, rather, before the break, I posed the question, can you name the four players who Liverpool have signed directly from Newcastle in the Premier League era? Now, Dech, you were chatting through the break, you think you've got two?
Yeah,
go on.
It's probably the most obvious ones, Genie and Andy Carroll.
Yeah, they're two of them. And then, Jay, you think you might have the other ones?
I think I've got the other two. I think one of them is Jose Enrique.
That's correct, one is Jose Enrique, yeah.
And, because I'm an old fart now, Didi Haman.
Didi Haman, yes. It was Didi Haman for £8 million quid in 1999. Yeah. Andy Carroll for £35 million in January 2021. Yeah, Jose Enrique in August 2011 for £6 million. And Genie Wijnaldum for LFC history says £25 million asterisk in the 22nd of July 2016. Yeah, so they're the four. I'm looking through the chat now. Quite a lot of you. Everyone got pretty much Carroll and Wijnaldum straight away. A few got Enrique. I didn't see many Hamans there in the chat, actually, so maybe that was the one
that
stumped you guys. But yeah,
this depends on your age, doesn't it, to be honest?
Yeah, I was going to say, like, people sometimes forget that 1999 actually was the Premier League. Like, the people who weren't born, Dech included, like, literally weren't
96
on the...
96, I was well, but I wasn't really...
That's what I'm saying, you were just about...
It's
like,
a great year, that. It's a great year. The free kick came out in 96.
It did, yeah. So 3-year-old Dech wasn't up to date on Didi Haman signing from Newcastle. Yeah, that makes me feel old, Jay.
What a player, though.
He was a very good signing as well. Right, before the break, we mentioned that Liverpool are going to make changes for this game, Dech, and we were procrastinating or talking about like how many and where they'll do it. And my guess is I'm just going to pose a couple of positions to you, and then you can just tell me what you think. So, Robertson and Tsimikas, like, there's a chance for Tsimikas.
Yeah, and I think it makes sense with the Tottenham game. Because, as you said, Tottenham, they've had a bit of a break. They had that bounce where I think they beat Brentford 3-0 and then Norwich 2-0. I know they're not compared to Liverpool, are they? But still, they've had that new bounce.
Centre-back, then, Jay, I'll come to you on that one. Obviously, Virgil and Matip's been his two of choice.
Yeah.
Can you see someone? Can you see Konate or Gomez coming in? Both of them, one or the other.
I think Konate
for
Matip.
Okay.
Yeah, I think Virg maybe plays and then maybe comes off because of this run of games, what we've got, he maybe come off if we're comfortable.
I suppose that, yeah, because I know, like, they have got a threat, Newcastle. I like Callum.
They have got a threat. Player. They've got a massive threat, but I'm also worried about Virgil's legs.
Yep.
Because there's so many run of games. And he's a machine, and we never even think about bringing Virgil off. But if we're comfortable, then fine. But if not, I think Matip has had such a fantastic run and, you know, made up that he's gone game after game after game. But I do think this is a great opportunity to give some more minutes to Konate. And I really like him. He's so good.
Home games tend to be when he likes Konate. Yeah. Yeah. That's a fair
one. Konate's been really good so far. And I seen something on The Athletic the other day, I think it was yesterday. Matip's played more minutes this season already than he did the season before. And the season before that even as well.
Yeah, there you go. He's love that stat.
And obviously when Van Dijk went down the other day against Villa, even though it was for like
a second,
probably about 20 seconds, still shit myself.
You always will. That'll never change.
Oh my God. Get up, lads.
Yeah, ruining the chat, you'd give Konate a game at all. Let's talk right back then. Are we Nico Williams for Trent?
I can't see it. I can't see the... No. Go back to the comfortable at 60, 70, then you bring him off. Trent's a young lad. You know, he's got loads of energy and stuff like that. You know, I think back when we used to play football at that age, you could play for quite a long time. You could play 7 days a week if you wanted to, but obviously the man is a lot better now. But I can't see that changing, I think, Trent.
No, I think Trent's creativity is just too good. He just offers so much. Neco is quite good at attacking, but he's not Trent, is he?
No one is. I suppose it's just looking after Trent. Rather, again, it's not going to be a Carling Cup team. He's going to have to put some Premier League players
out. Exactly.
And I suppose we're feeling the benefits of the resting players in Milan is that you might be able to get three games out of them before you then look ahead to what's coming after Spurs. But centre mid then, Fab, Thiago, Henderson's been the selection of choice. Keita's fit.
Yeah.
Oxlade-Chamberlain's fit and was playing up front the other day. Milner's around there about. Obviously, Jones is a bit away and Harvey Elliott, we're looking at January for those two. But there's options there, Jay. Like, can you see a change in sentiment? I can see Naby Keita starting this one, for example. Don't know who for.
Yeah.
I could even see him starting for Henderson, if I'm honest, and Virgil having the armband.
I wouldn't say all three of them are going to get dropped for a complete change, but I can see there's a case for every one of them to be dropped in the most positive way to give them a rest. So, yeah, I do expect changes in midfield. I don't expect wholesale changes, but I do expect, like, maybe Hendo drops out and Milner comes in because you still need the sort of leadership qualities in midfield, so maybe that's a change that you might look at now that James is a little bit fitter.
It's weird, isn't it? Because, like, we're talking about rest and rotation, we have to look after players, but, like, it's hard to imagine a Liverpool team without Fabinho at the six. Like, it is difficult for, like, he has to get his rest somewhere, and we'll see where that happens. At the moment, if they're going to give him that rest, listen, Tyler Morton's a wild shout, but he's a six. If Jürgen thinks Newcastle are crap, like, if he thinks they're absolute garbage. I mean, it's certainly not beyond the realms that he just goes, right, Tyler Morton, you can get in there with a Milner and a Keita or a Henderson or a Thiago and we'll try and guide you through the game. There's a chance there, like, if he thinks about getting some rest into Fabinho, that's his option, really.
Yeah, I think if you play Morton, no, you've maybe got to keep Henderson and Thiago in
for the
discipline and to guide them through the game, kind of thing. I think Fabinho starts, personally. I think maybe Thiago starts as well, because their record together...
They
haven't lost, have they? I don't think.
No, yeah, you're right.
Is it 1-15 and drawn one? Something like that.
It's crazy.
It is mad, but it's like, again, in what you've said there is absolutely spot on, because you want to keep it like that. But Wolves gave us a game and Villa gave us a game, and you just think, right, what have they got left in the tank?
That's the worry. To Spurs at the weekend. Yeah, like, you can't just keep flogging these lads. At some point, they do need the rest and rotation. Yeah.
But maybe it is a case of Fab drops out and then you keep Hendo, but you bring Milner in and
Hendo goes to number six. Yeah, and plays that. Yeah,
he plays it okay. He does need a six. Yeah, Henderson.
He's not Fabinho.
He's not Fabinho. He's not like world class in the six, but he is. He's adequate. He does the job.
Yeah.
If you
do the job against Newcastle
in like the smaller games, especially. Like, I don't think you wouldn't play him six against like Chelsea or City or even like Arsenal or even Tottenham, but I think against Newcastle you might be able to get away with that. Yeah, and play like your likes of Ox or Keita or. Jones isn't fit, is he? But
it'd be Oxkite, Milner's around as well if you need him. And then final front then, no one's telling Mo Salah's not playing. I'd be amazed. So I think Mo Salah's going to play.
Yeah.
Jota come off the bench against Villa, and to be honest, wasn't that good. But he hasn't traded. Yeah, he has a couple of them. But Jota starts up front. We're not going Ox up front.
Fabinho's not back either, is he? Yet, so.
Fabinho's in training, but I don't think Fabinho's. Yeah. I don't know. Again, there's 2 days as we're recording.
Hopefully
this,
he's back for Tottenham. He loves a little goal against Tottenham.
He's a big fan of playing against Spurs.
He won it away. He won it away in the title winning season, didn't he? And he scored the only goal, I think.
And he scores the header last season late on in the behind closed doors game to win us. Yeah, he's got a decent enough record against Spurs. So yeah, we'll say about that one. I think it's going to come too soon. Is there a Mane out? Mane needs a rest. He hasn't had much of it. I know we say about Mo Salah, and at some point he will have to rest Mo Salah, but I don't know where he's going to do it. Again, it's an opportunity for it.
Cup, maybe.
Potentially. There's an opportunity where he doesn't play Salah or Mane, one of the two deck. And you're looking at Minamino. Origi didn't play against Villa, but then Sonny. We don't know what his status is yet. So you're looking at maybe Ox on the wing or Taki if he did that. Can you see him starting without either of those two?
I think that might be a good call, no Mane, because, like as you say, we've got them players who can operate. Even Jota. Jota's quite good off the left, to be fair. Yeah. He can operate on the left, and then you could have Minamino up front. I am a fan of Minamino. I think he's been maybe a bit too harshly treated by some of our fans. Like, they just wrote him off when... If he had a constant, like, go in the team, he'd probably be the perfect Firmino replacement, in my opinion.
He's got the opportunity. Ox got picked ahead of him the other day. That's the thing with me. There's obviously something he's not doing. I mean, if a Rigi's fit, I think this would just scream, if Ox starts, Jota plays on one of the flanks, and then Salah or Mane play on the other. That's how you would do your rest of one of those two, isn't it?
Yeah.
We have to see how Div Ox knee is. I mean, apparently it wasn't a big issue, so we might train and we'll see how he is.
I attended the press conference and Klopp, he said, like, Origi is going to be back in training that day. It was an extra recovery day, and then all of a sudden he wasn't in the squad. So that was like,
it was Tom Fucky Pars the other day. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he just looked you in the eyes and lied to you.
Yeah, face. I was That's thinking.
The... Cards close to the chest, though, as well.
Yeah, yeah, no, like,
so many games, don't we? So you're right, mate, yeah.
Yeah, for sure. And again, like, I think that's how we're not completely sure about the fitness of Origi, but I think if he was fit to go,
yeah,
I could see him defo start on front and with Jota playing left. And then
you can see him backing as well, to be fair.
Yeah, absolutely. He scores every game he plays. Not often, but when he plays, he does. There he is there, by the way, for anyone watching. He's very much sitting at the top of R3, our Lord and Saviour, Divock Origi. Right, guys, before we start looking at the other fixtures around the league, ones that are actually happening, because there's games being called off left, right and centre, and more in doubt, so we'll see how that goes. But we're going to some people about this. But first, it's time for our Advent prize draw. So, for those of you who don't know, let me explain what it is. Every day from December 1st to December 25th, we are doing a draw. And to be in that draw, all you got to be is a Redmen Plus Club Legends subscriber. So if you are subscribed to Redmen Plus, if you're a club captain, you get all the content, everything we do, don't worry about that. If you're a club legend, it's basically that, it's club captain with bells and whistles on top. You get a few extra perks, you get free merchandise, you get money off other merchandise, you get tickets to our live shows when they're back and running, which... it's meant to be soon, but again, you know, the state of the world at the moment, we'll find out when that is. But there are plans in place to get those happening again. You also get access to our amazing Discord chat as well, where you can interact with Reds from around the globe. You can interact with us on the subscription shows as well. Pretty cool feature. But usually we do a monthly draw for our club legends. We do one a month and we're giving a nice prize away, but it's Christmas and the Reds are boss, so we're giving 25 prizes away. We've already given, where are we now? It's the 14th, we've already given 13 prizes away. Some really cool stuff, and there's more to come. There's a signed Jordan Henderson picture. We've got, obviously, our main prize, given away on Christmas Day, is a signed shirt by Kenny Dalglish, framed as well. Lovely prize, absolutely. We've done some totting up the other day, Jay, and we found out that the prizes altogether are worth way in excess of £1,000. I actually think that Kenny shirt, someone might pay a grand for by itself.
If you
put that on eBay, you might get it as well. So yeah, there's tons of prizes. So again, if you want to be in these draws going forward, all you've got to do is either sign up to Redmen Plus and become a club legend, or if you are a club captain, upgrade your account to club legend, then you'll be included in every draw from here forward. If you want to know how to do that, if you simply go to the homepage on the redmentv.com, there's either a join now button if you're not subscribed yet, or there's a my account button if you're a captain. Click on those and follow the process through and you'll be included in these draws. Right, today's prize then is one of our five goals mug. It's got King Kenny Dalglish laughing in the face of Sir Alex Ferguson after Liverpool went to Old Trafford and beat Manchester United 5-0. We're about to give that prize away. And to give it away, we are going to go to the Wheel of Mystery. And I'm going to click the button right now. Drum roll, please, gents. Come on, get involved.
Hopefully a bit quicker this time.
It takes ages. It does. We got off. Oh, Tom, come back to us. He's back again. Tom, and the winner is, congratulations to AJB91. AJB91, round of applause for you. You are winning this amazing mug. Ross will be in touch with you very, very shortly to get that posted off to you. Congratulations. Right then, guys.
Lucky Steve Gary.
All the best, yeah. He's one of our 60s, hasn't he? So the next prize... on December 15th, we've got our six socks to give away. Do you want to model them down there for us, Jay? Have a little look at those as well. There we go.
One nice box. Yeah. Then.
They are six socks.
So, Jürgens, old school kit. Put in the comments what kit that is, because I'm the kit man. And then we've got the alternative black ones as well. So, you know, you can use these for work, and then these are your weekend socks as well. So, little Jürgens on your socks. But they are absolutely sick, just the way they are described by the manufacturer. what a prize that is. So I'll have these. To be fair, there's lots of people out there who don't wear socks in the bloody winter, and you see them, so they need them.
Yeah, if you want to either buy some socks or spend that money on a Club Legends subscription, all the content in the world, and have a chance to win.
And have the chance to win the socks as well, so no brainer.
Absolute no brainer. So, yeah, make sure you guys are involved, and congratulations to AJ again. Congratulations on winning your amazing cup. Right then, I'm going to go to the Premier League fixtures that are happening this week, we think. Again, at time recording, these are all happening now. We don't know because of COVID and bubbles and everything else that happened. Like Norwich v Aston Villa is already in doubt. That's meant to be tonight.
Yeah.
Steven Gerrard looking to bounce back, but Villa have had some positive COVID cases, so we'll see on that one there. But we'd expect Aston Villa to go to Norwich and win.
You would.
City hosting Leeds. Leeds give Chelsea a bloody nose the other day, Jay. And it took a 94th minute rather controversial penalty to get them to get Chelsea that win. I say mildly controversial. It was very, very, very controversial penalty to get them that win. Have Leeds got it in their legs to do it again?
Well, I was just thinking that, and I'm in one breath I'm going, do you know what, that's great from Leeds, and certainly they can do the same thing against City, but how much did that take the stuffing out of them when you lose a game the way they did, whether it was a dodgy penalty or not, it's still a pain in the backside. So for me, I'm taking nothing from it and just going, yeah, City are going to wipe the floor of Leeds, and then by tonight at 11 o'clock I might go, they got beat. That's what I'm looking at.
You're in the same boat as well. You can't expect Man City to drop points at home to Leeds. You can hope, but you can't expect.
Maybe last season when they had Bamford, Phillips and Cooper fifth, but them three are out,
yeah.
I think, definitely. So it'll be a tough task for Leeds.
If you guys are watching this on Wednesday or Thursday, hopefully Manchester City did drop those points that we're talking about. Fingers crossed for that one. Brighton against Wolves, again, another COVID doubtful game, apparently. So we'll see when that happens, if it does. But again, that's got 0-0 written all over it. Yeah. Those two teams love drawing 0-0. There's not many goals
Wolves
in
Wolves don't like scoring.
Wolves hate scoring. Brighton just hate winning games. They love a draw. Palace against Southampton. Big game for Southampton. Need points. They're on a bit of a downward trajectory at the moment.
Palace got a good win the other night, didn't they?
They got a very good win.
Can't remember who it was against, though.
No.
I just remember the Everton away fans not being particularly thrilled with their manager for that one.
Yeah.
Keep going. Then we've got Burnley Watford. So, games at the end of the season, that will mean something for someone. That feels like a big one. If Burnley can't beat Watford at home, I mean, like, it's every season you're thinking, are Burnley going to go? Because they start off rubbish and they always go on this run, but the run needs to start soon. That's a big one for Burnley. They probably need to get some points out of that one. Or finally, we might be able to get Burnley out of the league.
Yeah, we are. Let's hope so. They always seem to be like a team which can either kick for higher and injure players, or they get like them, like that. Brings back to ages ago. It was like, I think Andre Gray scored two and he beat us 2-0. It was when we had that toxic thunder or something it was called, wasn't it?
Yeah.
New Balance? Yeah.
And
we still got beat 2-0. So it's like, you want them out the league. Like, I don't like the way they play, really. It's like when we played them and they kept kicking us, didn't they? And Klopp said something and everyone was fuming about it. So, you know, Klopp's just a moaner, but he's not. It's dangerous. But I think that is what they describe on your likes of Soccer Saturday, and that as a six-pointer.
It very much is. I think we're all, maybe again, it sounds like Dex put on Watford anyway. I'll remain fairly neutral on that one. The race for the top four gets again back underway, I suppose, with a Pierre Aubameyang-less captaining Arsenal hosting West Ham. That'll be interesting. He's been stripped of the captaincy and he's now been dropped for the game. Basically, just come about to turn up on time.
Yeah, I mean, exactly.
That'll never happen here, would it, Jay? To anyone. Like, we'd never be late for a show because someone's late, would we, Dex?
Never.
No, can't say that to him.
Dex, you dropped next
what
week.
What are you talking about?
Definitely with the captain that took the armband off you, but that's a big game for both those sides.
Massive,
if Arsenal win, they go above West Ham. Those teams are very much in Champions League chasing. They're both trying to come fourth. Big game for both of them. If West Ham can go there and win, and they can just make that gap even bigger, it'll be a tough one.
West Ham turn them over. I really do. Just got this feeling. Just think that'll happen.
Yeah, what do you reckon there, Dech?
One all draw written all over it myself with the form of both of them. Arsenal had a nice win over Southampton, but before that, they haven't been that good, and I think West Ham are on a bit of a slump as well, aren't they? Obviously, they beat Chelsea, but I think since then,
they've won one of five.
They're sort of like hit and miss at the minute.
I just like seeing Arsenal lose games.
Oh, yeah, of course. Fun. It's just funny, isn't it? Like, they're like a banter club right now. they look like they're getting out of it a bit now, but like they're still a bit of a banter club. Like, I was thinking about it before. What other club would this happen to? Like, the captain's is an arse and just doesn't turn up or whatever, and then gets disciplinary and gets the captaincy took off them. Who's going to take over the captaincy?
We'll find out as they play on tomorrow night. That's time recording. Then, again, race for Champions League, Leicester, Spurs. Leicester, we could do a Leicester take, given Spurs the run around, if nothing else. We play Spurs. Just, they play Thursday, Sunday, which is tough for them, by the way. That's an advantage, I think, for Liverpool. Obviously, we get our game Thursday as well. But in terms of, like, they have to travel to Leicester. Again, it's not far. And they get the advantage of their game being at home, where we're at home and then away. So it's one of those. But I think if you're playing Liverpool, going to the King Power and getting the run around there, we get Newcastle at home again. Not counting chickens, but you'd rather that than have to go get legged around the King Power for a bit. Like, we're hoping Leicester, if nothing else, make it difficult for Spurs and run the bollocks off them.
Yeah, 100%, mate. Yeah. Or just give us a draw, because then they can both just keep a little bit further away.
If any of them catches, we've got something bad happens with that.
Absolutely, yeah.
Can our pal Rafa Benitez do us a favour, Declan? Could old Rafa pull out the bag once again? The Everton fans adored him. They were singing his name at the weekend. Can he go to Chelsea and take anything off of Chelsea side? Like you mentioned before, about dips and stuff. Chelsea, again, they've won 3 of the 5. One of those was a very, very late winner the other day. They obviously got beat 3-2. So they're letting goals in now, which is a rarity for Chelsea. They've now actually only conceded one fewer goal than us, given the run of clean sheets we've had, and they've let a couple of threes and twos in. Can you see Everton doing anything at Chelsea, or do you think Rafa against another one of his former clubs? Yeah. Did you take the away end again, a fuming as he takes like Pickford off in the 60th minute for some random reason, like Rafa tends to do?
I think no, I can't see Everton doing anything to Chelsea. There, I was saying to my mate on my podcast the other day, he's a Chelsea fan, and I was saying to him, like you said, then they're conceding a lot more goals lately, but I don't think Everton really have the threat to do them any harm. Really, I think it says it all when he's taken off Richarlison, putting Rondon on, and Rondon's the one who scores for them. Like,
I mean, to be fair to Rafa, that show kind of worked. The fella he brought on scored. I mean, it was just it wasn't a good aesthetics, and the away fans didn't really get him. I suppose if you want a team to go to Chelsea and win, it's got to be a team who's got lots behind them. Leeds have actually, although they've been rubbish, they're a club that are all at one, the fans and the players and the manager. Exactly. To go there, it's a bit toxic, and like, the fans can't really be bothered, and they think they're going to get beaten in the 80 manager anyway. It doesn't smell like a Chelsea dropping any points, does it?
No, it doesn't, mate. And I mean, I go back to last season when, like, if it was at Goodison, I might think a little bit differently when Duncan Ferguson had his win against Chelsea and that. But I just, I can't see Everton getting anything at Stamford Bridge. I really can't. But like you said, you know, the fans and stuff, you know, going down to London, can I be bothered on a night time? It's just getting back. That's the way I would feel if I knew, like, well, why am I going all that way to watch them get beat?
Especially if you hate the manager, which it seems like.
Yeah, it seems like some of them do.
The tide has turned. So it looks like we're all thinking that the top three all hold serve this week, and we're certainly hoping Liverpool do that. Hopefully I'm wrong on the other two, at least one of those drop points.
I'd like to see us, like, I love the phrase there, mate, hold our serve, but I'd like to do it where we're winning by 3 or 4 goals.
And you can rest players ahead of
me, I mean, 3 points is a must, obviously, but I don't want to go through another Wolves. I don't want to go through another Villa. I want us just to batter someone now, just so I feel a bit better going to bed. You know what I mean? When I'm coming home from the game, I'm having a better pint in May Dunkers after the game, knowing that I was a lot more relaxed. But I just want us to batter someone just so I can go right, and then we're sort of, the other teams looking at us going, ooh.
That's fingers crossed, Jay. Fingers crossed, you're right. So on that, I'll give you time to think about your prediction. I'm going to go to you, Deck, first. Score prediction for Liverpool versus Newcastle, what are you thinking?
4-0.
4-0.
Yeah, I think we blow them all up. The way that it could even be higher, like the way they've been playing lately doesn't really inspire. If I was a Newcastle fan, it wouldn't inspire me with any confidence that we'd go to Anfield and get something.
Yeah, Jay.
I'm going to go 2-0 just to be conservative, but I want 4.
Yeah, I could see it being where we absolutely batter them, but we very much try and save our legs. Score 4. I actually think 4-0, but I think it's 4 and 60. A bit like actually what we did at Old Trafford, where we could have really wanted to.
We've had 5 in the first half.
Well, we could have scored 9 against Man United. If we actually tried to score, but try and save the legs, I'm thinking that as well. I mean, hopefully we're all right.
Yeah.
Listen, Newcastle gave us a bloody nose last season, and they're under a new manager, blah, blah, blah. They've got everything to fight for, and nothing to lose, really. It's a free swing for them, but hopefully we're all right. None of us are.
Well, I think you could be right with the 2-0. Like, maybe we go 2-0 up and just take our foot right off the gas.
See, I could see really, that at 3.
Because you maybe don't need to. They're not going to really maybe threaten you. But then again, I suppose
they get one in the last 10 minutes.
That's the problem with 2.
Gets one, it's a bit nervy, isn't it? Yeah, or something.
Squeaky bum.
Maybe 3-0. I'm going to change it to 3-0, I think.
I can see them holding it. I see them again 2-0. I think they were bitten by the Brighton game where they tried that tactic and it bit them in the arse. I think once if Liverpool gets a 3 or 4, then you can see that happening. But at 2, I think they would be going for it. Let us know, guys, then in the live chat, or if you're not watching this live, obviously, let us know in the comments section below who you think will score Liverpool's first goal and what the final score will be in the game. Jay, pleasure to have you here Deck. Pleasure to have you here as always on time. Next time, if you're, the YouTubers of the comment section are furious that
you're I apologise, guys.
not one person mentioned it. I've just rerun the bus there. Please do consider giving a thumbs up. Please give a like to the video. Like I say, Paul and Chris are on my case. I get a nice hearty handshake off them if I get one. So please do, like I say, if you're not subscribed as well to the YouTube channel, please do that. And like I say, if you want more Red Men goodness in your life, head on over to the Red Men TV. Subscribe to Red Men Plus, and we've got absolutely tons coming up between now and the end of the season. But even now in the next like 3 weeks before Christmas, so we've got obviously reaction to every single game with the final word and the instant match reaction, which streams about an hour or so after the final whistle. Whoever's in the studio for the watch long stays behind as an in-depth chat as well. Obviously, we've got our debate show, which goes out every single week, which is pretty cool as well. It's like being down the pub with your mates, just chatting biff about the Reds and hypotheses and random scenarios. They're always lots and lots of fun. That'll be out on Wednesday as well. And then, obviously, we've got our amazing Hendo 10 documentary series is on there, if you want to go back and watch that. And then on Christmas Eve and on Christmas Day, a two-parter, a countdown of Liverpool's 50 greatest Premier League players as voted for by you guys, our Red Men TV viewers and listeners. You guys voted, compiled the top 50, and that is being worked away. Si's doing his sums to figure out it all out, and then that'll be going live, part one on Christmas Eve and part two live on Christmas Day. For you to watch after you've had, you know, you've stuffed your face with turkey and whatever, and had a few shandies, sit down and watch who you think the best 50 players in the Premier League
could be controversial.
I've seen the list already, some of it. I know there's a bit more to do, but yeah, some of it is.
We're like the placings of who's the best and stuff.
Some of it is a bit. There's some good ones, and then some where I was like, whoa, my head blew off. Anyway, Dech, thanks. That was a little plug for it. Bring you back more often. Guys, thanks very much. It's been a pleasure. Exactly. Thank you guys for watching all this in our home. We'll be back soon with Red Men TV. See you later.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Megan Rinks.
And I'm Melissa D. Montz.
And like every other person with access to a microphone, we started a podcast.
On Mondays, we release Don't Blame Me, which is an advice podcast where listeners call in and we share our thoughts on situations such as what to do if you're going to your boyfriend's family function and you haven't told him that you previously slept with both his twin brothers.
Then on Thursdays, we release our podcast, But Am I Wrong?, where we ethically gossip about pop culture, politics, our lives, and your lives. Listeners write in and we tell them if they're wrong or right in a situation. Are you the hero or the villain?
On Tuesdays and Fridays, we throw in a little something extra as well.
A little something, something. We strive to create a community grounded in activism, mental health, and inclusivity. Think of us as like your blunt, honest friends who give you advice that you need to hear, not what you want to hear. But we're also always rooting for your success. What we lack in credentials, we make up for in
opinions.
We do that in every episode too.
We're professional unprofessionals, so if you're looking for a new slate of podcasts to add to your routine, we're here for you.
Acast recommends.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.